Thanks, John, for the welcome, and to thank Davey for the invite to come. It's always good to be with you in Chile when you're in fellowship with you, and you're sharing fellowship with people who've come to know and love over many years now. Now, we're turning in the Word of God to Deuteronomy chapter 7, please, this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we'll just read the verses from 6 down to the verse number 9. While you turn the place, I'd like to make a commercial. I forgot to ask David and Sam for permission to do it, so I'm going to do it anyway, and then they can shoot me later if that's what they want to do. But on the 14th of May, 1948, David Ben-Gurion stood up and announced the Declaration of Independence for the State of Israel at 4 p.m. that afternoon, and then swept the hordes, and with a few pitchforks and a few rifles, they turned back the invading tanks and so on of the Arab nations, and the State of Israel was formed. On the 14th of May next year, her brother Ronnie McCracken and myself were taking a party out to do a Bible tour of Israel in commemoration of that event. And if you'd like to come with us, you'd be more than welcome. I have a brochure along with me. If you want to come, we will leave on the 14th, go from Dublin via, what do you call a place in Turkey? Istanbul, and then into Tel Aviv. We spend the first 4 nights down on the Sea of Galilee and Tiberias, go to Capernaum, where the Lord's ministry was based. We'll do the things like the Wood of Nainsun and all that took place down in that area. We go across to Masada, across at the Dead Sea, passing the Qumran Caves, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, the place where David was hiding from Saul, and all of those things that are there. And then we'll take a night there to Masada, where the Jews had a revolt and said, never again. And then we go up to Jerusalem and spend time up there. It's £1,650 for what it's worth. I've seen shorter packages and more greater price. But if you want to know any more, you can see me and I'll give you a brochure at the end of the meeting this morning. Now, we've got to get to the Word. Turning to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and the verse number 6, please. And I've had a dose of man flu the last while. And while I'm over the most of it, the voice is still a bit croaky, so if I'm making an odd squawk or whatever, please forgive me this morning. Verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because you would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, to keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. There's no replacement theology there, so there's not. Amen, and the Lord will bless the reading of his own inspired, infallible, inerrant, indestructible, and incorruptible word of truth. This morning, considering things that have gone on in the world in recent days, Israel again is much maligned. We've had America withdrawing from UNESCO. We've had Israel deciding to follow suit. Britain being encouraged to do so, although refusing. In reality this morning is the Jew is much maligned, much despised, much hated, and much more persecuted than any other people. We live in days when anti-Semitism is again on the rise. And the world really needs to review its history. The Egyptians drowned him in the River Nile. But then Pharaoh and his armies were drowned in the Red Sea. Haman tried to hang them, but he and his 10 sons were hung on his own gallows. Hitler invented the final solution, and his own body was burnt in the grave. The reality this morning is the Jew always stands at the grave of his persecutor. The Crusaders despised them. Martin Luther hated them. Islam detests them and wants to destroy them. And the reality this morning is anti-Semitism is rampant in Europe again. Particularly in France, in Germany. It's rising in Poland and in the United Kingdom, and you only have to look at the Labour Party to understand that. Iran seeks to destroy them. Arabs want to remove them. Islam hates them. The United Nations passes resolution after resolution against them. To give a flavour for it, the United Nations General Assembly on the 21st of December 2016, less than a year ago, on that one day they passed 20 human rights motions against Israel. 20. Against the rest of the world, 6. Nothing about Syria. Nothing about Saudi Arabia or Turkey or China or any of the rest of them. And sadly, within some sections of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are hated, and replacement theology is absolutely rampant. Amen. Not in my Bible, it's not. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10 by show that replacement theology is a nonsense. Just one verse will do it. Romans chapter 10. While you're turning the place to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is after Pentecost, so he's in this age, this dispensation. The Apostle Paul was a church planter. The Apostle Paul knows what the church is. And there's absolutely no doubt that Paul would know where he was and what the church is. In Romans 10 verse 1 it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire to pray and prayer to God for Israel is what? That they might be saved." And if Israel's replaced the church, why is Paul praying for the church to be saved? Absolute nonsense. You know, this evening, or this morning, if we turn back to Jeremiah chapter 31, another verse, which will, set of verses, will put it into context. Jeremiah chapter 31. And Jeremiah 31, and we're looking from verses 35 down to 37. Jeremiah 31 and the verse 35. And it says in Jeremiah 31 and 35, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name." So he's given them out the sun and the moon and the stars and so on. Now look. "If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me. Thus saith the Lord, if the heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord." Now answer me a question. When has God removed the sun and the moon and the stars? When I looked up before I walked in the door this morning, it was up there. It was light. I looked up last night and the sun and or the moon and the stars were in. Yeah. Therefore, God will not remove Israel. Okay. When have they measured the heavens? They're still discovering stars up there. They talk about terms of light years. They talk of the light traveling at 185,000 miles in a second. The vastness of the heavens. But God will never do away with the Jew until heaven's been measured. God still cares for the Jew and will complete his plans. And these replacement theologies, the guys that call a spade, need to start rightly dividing the word of truth. What I want to do this morning in the time that I have is simple three thoughts. Is the history of the Jew. What the Jew has been, that's the past. What the Jew is today, that's the present. And thirdly, what the Jew is yet to be, that's the future. And make application to ourselves as we go and see what we can learn this morning. What the Jew has been, the past. A chosen people. Chosen because of the passion of God. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. You're in Jeremiah 31, if you run my Bible up the top of the chapter. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's a verse that preachers, myself included, use often in the gospel preaching. Yet the context is a Jew, as you read down the rest of that chapter there. In Isaiah 49 and verse 15, he says, can a woman forget her suckling child, that should she not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy ways are continually before me. Brothers and sisters, don't let anyone ever convince you that God no longer loves them. But as God loves them this morning, so he loves you, and so he loves me. You know, the reality is this morning, if God could forget them, then he could forget you, and he could forget me, and he could replace us with somebody else. We are under covenant of Calvary just as much as they are under covenant. And this morning, we are sitting where the Jew ought to be. We've been grafted in, if you read the book of Romans. But don't forget, God one day will graft them back in again. And don't forget it. So there are chosen people because of God's passion. There are chosen people because of God's promise. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 12. It's a bit more of a Bible study on a ministry night this morning, but forgive me for that. Genesis chapter 12. In recent days, these things have been in my heart because of what's going on in the world. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Of course, verse 1, Abraham's been told to get out from his country and his kindred and so on. And verse 2 says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The individual promise there, God's going to bless Abraham. There's a national promise there. He's going to make a great nation. And there's a universal promise. All the families of the earth will be blessed. You know, if only the politicians would sit up and read this book. Instead of passing those resolutions, let's learn to love Israel and to bless her. How different this world would be, because the blessing of God will fall on all nations. Amen. How God gifts the Jew. By 2017, just googled it yesterday. 2017, there were 196 Jewish Nobel Prize winners across the various fields. 196 of them. Now the Arab nations have multiple times the population. I don't know how many what the population is compared to the Jews. There's only 13 million Jews in the world. But across the Arab nations, they don't have 196. They have 10. How God blesses the world through them. They are truly a chosen people. But just as they are a chosen people this morning, should it not thrill our souls that we are chosen in Christ this morning? What a blessing that is to our hearts. They are chosen people. But what we see, not only are they a chosen people, they are favoured people. You see, they are adopted as sons. In Deuteronomy 14 and 12 it says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that upon the earth. They are adopted. But then this morning we are adopted. We are grafted in. And then we look at the way they lived, and they didn't live for the Lord, and introduced all the sin and all the things we did, and we're not going to it this morning. But the challenge comes to my life as a son of God. Am I living worthy of my calling in Christ this morning? Am I talking the talk? But more important, am I walking the walk? How am I living for him this morning? They were favoured because they were adopted. They were favoured because they have an awesome, glorious presence that blessed them. Exodus 16 and 10. There's one verse that I've lifted out. And it came to pass, and as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The awesome, glorious presence that they had guiding them. Pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Dear brothers and sisters, this morning we have no less a presence with us. That great verse in Hebrews 13, someone quoted it earlier on, I can't remember who it was, but in verse 5 it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with the things that you have. I know that the people of God would learn to be content this morning. But it goes on to say, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So it may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Brothers and sisters, we have his presence no matter what our circumstances are. No matter what we have to face in the days of this week that lie ahead if the Lord tarries. No matter when people forsake us, slander us, whether it's health issues or financial issues or whatever, or persecution, whatever befall us, we have that awesome, glorious presence that blessed them, the same God is with us this evening and this morning. They're blessed. They're a favoured people because adopted as sons. They have that awesome, glorious presence. And of course, they administered specific responsibilities in the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 15. The Davidic covenant for the temple, for example, in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 16, it says, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. They have responsibility. But you and I have responsibilities this morning. Firstly, to live for him. To walk for him. To be faithful unto him. To be obedient unto him in a whole host of ways. From the moment we get saved, we have to start to follow him. We have to obey him in this table, which we have done this morning. We have to be baptized. We have to join the local assembly. And then those are the general things, but the individual leading, as he leads us in various ways, in the various service for him, we've got to be obedient. This morning I challenge my heart. Am I in the place where God wants me to be? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Or have I even sought to find out what he wants me to do? But we need to be obedient unto him. Favoured because they were adopted as sons, the awesome, glorious present, and ministered specific responsibilities. But they were adorned with the law directly from God. They got the Ten Commandments, direct from God. Now I've probably said this before, I don't know, but worth repeating. When I think of Moses receiving the two tablets of the law, he comes down, and he sees the revelry that's going on, and the sin, and the debauchery, and the false worship. The tablets are broken. The law is broken before it was ever given to the people. So Moses has to hike back up and get another set. But what happens to the broken law? It goes into the ark. It goes into the box. But what happens? The mercy seat goes on top. The law that you and I broke needs the mercy of God. And then what happens once a year at Yom Kippur? The blood's applied to the mercy seat. The broken law is covered by the mercy of God, which is covered by the blood. And this morning, they had the law given to God, given from God. The Jew in reality has 613 laws. But we have this book. Heard a story. It was actually Harvey told me not that long ago that he was doing a conference with someone, and there's an old man standing in the same place as he was. Harvey got up in the middle of the night to do whatever he had to do, and he saw a candle burning under the man's door. He was worried. Saw the candle. And he went in. See if the wee man was alright. He says, he alright? He says, I'm sorry, I lit the candle. I didn't want the full light on to wake you, to annoy you, disturb you. He says, what are you doing at this time of night with a candle? He says, well, I'm over 90 now and I'm short of future. And I'm going through this book to see if there's anything that God has told me to do that I haven't done yet. And over 90. Brothers and sisters, is that the faith that we have? Is that the obedience to God we have this morning? we should be set doing what we're not doing this morning, what the Jew didn't do. They were also assigned for God's service as a nation, as a tribe, which we've not developed this morning. The clock's running away with me. Adopted as sons, awesome, glorious presence, administered specific responsibilities, adorned the law directly from God. They were assigned for God's service. They were afforded tremendous blessings. In Isaiah 51 and verse 16 it says, "And I have put my words in thy mouth. I have covered thee with the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto God, unto Zion, Thou art my people." What a blessing. It's ours this morning to be his people. Amen. Joshua 1 and 11. "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess it, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess." All the blessings. But they were bestowed on them by him. Yet this morning, all the blessings that are bestowed on us by him, how often do we count them? How often do we number them? And it surprises us what God has done, but how often do we return them thanks for all the blessings he bestows upon us, even the simple things? So we see this favoured people. You know, they were also an acknowledged as a channel for the Messiah. We have this book in our hands this morning. The authors were Jewish. It's a Jewish book. The Catholics hate them, but forget Muri was a Jewess. The early church were all Jews. The anti-Semitics within the church forget that the Saviour was a Jew. We need to remember who he was this morning. What the Jew was. That's our past. I need to move because time's running away. What the Jew has been. Then quickly, what is the Jew today? Well, firstly, as we see, the Jew today is a scattered people. Dispersed all over the earth. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 64, "And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone." Today there are 13 million of them odd worldwide, and roughly 6 million have gathered back in Israel in unbelief. God is regathering them and bringing them home as he said he would. Recently, in the last couple of years, some have made Aliyah even from India. But God kept his word. They were scattered because of their unbelief. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brethren and sisters, they lost all because of their unbelief. Let's make sure we don't lose the blessing of God in our lives by being unfaithful. Let us remain faithful that we might continue to receive the blessings that Bert spoke about this morning. Dispersed all over the earth. They were downtrodden because of the Gentiles. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 43 it says, "The stranger that was within thee shall get up above thee very high. And I shall come down very low, and he shall lend to thee, and I shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail." And so it has been for generations and hundreds and thousands of years. The Gentiles have lorded it over them. Some of you will have seen pictures of the Jew with a big furry hat, the new Micah. And then you'll have seen him with a little kippa underneath. What's that all about? Well, the Micah came about because in Eastern Europe, in the days of heavy persecution, the Jew had to stand in the gutter and doff his cap to the Gentile as he walked past. That gave the Jew a problem to bear his head in public in the presence of God would be a sin. The opposite to the ladies covering their head in the church. That's why anybody who uses the argument of tradition for a woman not to cover her head doesn't know what he's talking about. It was the man who covered his head. But the Jew in the gutter, they'll bear his head. So that's why they come up with the kippah on the bottom and then the yarmulke on top, and his head still covered in the presence of God. But they were downtrodden by the Gentiles. God kept his word because of their lack of faithfulness. And that's them under law. We're under grace this morning. How much more should we be keeping and being faithful to the word of God and being faithful to our God? Are we keeping it this morning? Because if he judges the Jew, don't think we'll be any different. We'll have to stand before him one day and give an account of our service for him. So today there are scattered people. There are slumbering people. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11 and verse 8, please. Romans chapter 11 and verse 8. Romans 11 and verse 8. It says, according as it is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber. And there's the word slumbering I'm after. Eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Today they're still are blinded by unbelief. Now how are they blind? I did hear, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, something like that, a demonstration of the Feast of the Passover. Today they celebrate the Passover, but they have none. They don't realize 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for even Christ, our Passover, a sacrifice for us. They see the event. They see the type. But they don't see him. They're slumbering. They see not. They celebrate the Passover but have none. They have a lamb shank but they don't have the lamb. The lamb shank bone is there to remind the Passover table, to remind them of the sacrificial lamb. But they have no sacrificial system today. They don't realize in Hebrews 10 and verse 12, but this man, after he made one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. They celebrate the Passover, but have none. They have a lamb shank, but not the lamb. They have a day of atonement, but they have no atonement. In October each year, just a couple of weeks ago, they celebrated Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. It's the new year. It's the secular year. It's the Jewish New Year. It's the secular system. They believe in Judaism that on the new year, every year, God weighs every individual's good deeds against their bad deeds. And whatever way the scales fall, if the scales fall in the good deeds, you're going to live through the year. Fall in the bad deeds, you're going to die during that year. But they realize that nobody is perfect, so they give them these 10 awesome days to make retribution. The 10 best days for Jewish charities and all of those sort of things. So people try to tilt the scales in their favor. It leads up to the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. They celebrate the Day of Atonement. They don't realize that Christ has torn down the little wall of partition. They don't realize the veil is rent. They don't realize that atonement has been made. And this morning, they have a day of atonement but no atonement. They celebrate the Passover but have none. They have a lamb shank but not the lamb. They have a day of atonement but no atonement. They want peace, but not the Prince of Peace. They seek for peace. They long for peace. They give up land for peace. They give up Gaza. What did they get? Thousands of rockets fall on their head. One leader said that there would be no peace until the Arabs learn to love their sons more than they hate the Jews. They want peace, but not the son of, or not the Prince of Peace. And soon as a couple of months we'll be celebrating and remembering the advent of the Lord Jesus into the scene of time. Bert called out this morning, the 25th of December, is nowhere near the right date, but that's neither here nor there. That's when the world will remember. This morning in Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, the peace he brings to a sin-sick soul. But they don't want the Prince of Peace. Praise God this morning. We have him. Amen. And we worship him this morning. They have unleavened bread, but not the bread of life. The Feast of Unleavened Bread falls the day after the day of Passover. The next 7 days they will only eat the matzah bread.
She's seen in the demonstration of Passover, it's like a cream cracker with all the holes and the stripes and the bruising and so on. It points to the Lord Jesus in so many ways. They have the unleavened bread, they have not the bread of life, the one who said, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Him that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. What a privilege the saint has this morning, to possess the bread of life. But the Jew sees the type in the Passover and the unleavened bread and not him. They celebrate a Passover but have none. They have a lamb shank but not the lamb. They have a day of atonement but no atonement. They want peace but not the Prince of Peace. They have unleavened bread but not the bread of life. They desire a Messiah but not the Messiah. I saw it at the end of that demonstration of Passover. At the Passover they'll send a child to the door. They have an empty chair there to see if Elijah will come. The child sent to the door, he'll open the door and the draught of the air hits him in the face, but Elijah's not there. Because they believe that Elijah will be heralded in the coming of the Messiah. They don't realise the Lord's already come. How sad. How tragic. They are a scattered people. They are slumbering people. But they are slowly coming to faith people. 7,000 remnant in Elijah's day. Daniel had his three mates. The followers of the Lord when he was here. In the tribulation will be the 144,000 evangelists. In the millennium they'll all be saved. But the tragedy is during that tribulation period, 2/3 of them will perish. If the Lord was to come tonight, and there's 13 million of them, that means 8,666,666 of them are going to perish. That's the tragedy. Today, many messianic churches are springing up across the land. A growing number of them. And brothers and sisters, we've been told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. No peace until the millennium. But what we want to do is to be praying for the peace of the Jew, the individual, that many will know the peace of Christ in their heart. And if we can pray for them and pray for those who are working among them, that a great number of them come to faith, then that 8,666,000 will reduce. And that's what we need to be doing. That souls, because every one of them's a soul. And every one of them's perishing tonight or this morning. And we need to see them one. What the Jew has been in the past. What the Jew is today, the present. Quickly, what the Jew is yet to be, the future. A restored people. You see, no longer cast off, but returned to the land. These replacement guys tell me God's finished with Israel. No, he hasn't. Amos 9 and 14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people, and I shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and I shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and I shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. God will continue to restore them to the land, and they're in it again, and they'll not be leaving again. No longer cast off, but return to the land. No longer blind. 2 Corinthians 3:14 and 16, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament. The veil is done away in Christ. Done away in Christ. But now even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now listen, nevertheless when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. In that day they will accept their Messiah. What a day that will be. Praise God for the day you and I accepted him. And they'll not remain unsaved, Romans 11:26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, Paul's prayer will be answered, and they will come to faith at the time. So what they will be is a restored people. They'll be a blessed people. We read in Genesis chapter 1 about how God was going to bless them, and if the world accepted them and so on, how the Lord would bless them. They're going to turn from a cursing to a blessing according to Zechariah 8:13, and it shall be come to pass as you were a curse among the heathen, O the house of Judah, and the house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. From cursing to blessing. From shame to fame. Zephaniah 3:19. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth thee, and gather her that was driven out, and I will praise them, and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. So as you see what they will be, they will be a restored people, a blessed people, and they're an eternal people. We read in Jeremiah 31 and 37, thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and so on, and the foundations and so on. You know, as long as those heavenly ordinances are there, and stay in their place, God has promised that they're an eternal people. They are an eternal people. In Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 33, behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day, that I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, though I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel, will make now, not the old one. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Not replaced. Brothers and sisters, as I close this morning, I've went over at an awful gallop, I appreciate that. But will we continue to pray for them? The lost sheep of the house of Israel? Will we pray for their salvation? Will we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Will we pray as God is doing what he would say to do regarding Israel and the Jew, and he's bringing them home? We need to look up. As we see these things come to pass, he's coming soon this morning. And he's coming to take his people home. And this morning as we consider these things, we need to look in and examine ourselves. And we need to live as we ought in the light of his return. We need to get back to the old paths, to the ways of separation and the ways of holiness and the ways of the old paths that we've turned away from in this nation. Get back to the way it used to be. Because this morning the Lord's coming. And the reality is, if we're not careful, we'll be caught on rather than caught up. Caught up, but of course caught on while we're being caught up. This morning we need to look up. We need to look in. And we need to look out on the lost world and rescue the perishing. For our loved ones who are about to be left behind. Let's go from this place this morning. In the light of what God's doing among his own people, the chosen people, and how he's about to graft them back in, let us live right in the light of our own calling. Sorry I went over the time this morning. Even bring up.